Hi, I'm Kimmy Robertson.
Hey, Ben, this is David Duchovny.
Twin Peaks is over 30 years old. There's so much more to learn about Twin Peaks. We recommend you pick up our book, Twin Peaks Unwrap the Book, to find out even more about the show that you love.
We have tons of great stuff. We have over 100 interviews. We have commentary from the community. We have us. We have some great photos that have never been seen by most folks. I think if you're a diehard Twin Peaks fan, you're going to absolutely love this book, and you will definitely learn something new.
So pick it up at bluerosemag.com.
Hi, I'm Kimmy Robertson, and you're listening to Twin Peaks Unwrapped.
The sycamore trees in the dark trees that blow away.
Welcome to Twin Peaks Unwrapped. I'm your host, Ben Durant, and beside me is...
Brian Kozaska.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, Ben. How are you this week?
Great. Another week of Twin Peaks.
Another week without Twin Peaks is what we should be saying, because it's
every
so depressing.
It is sad that it's gone. It's sad that we don't have any more. We're not that far away, though, from Mark Frost's book.
It's
and then
true.
We'll get the DVD, and hopefully there'll be some extras on that Blu-ray DVD.
That'll keep us busy for the Christmas season.
Yes.
This episode is our final bookcase, the end... Our wraparound, I guess, for season 3 was Mark Gibbons. We had him on in the beginning for predictions. In the middle, we kind of caught up. And this is the ending of our journey.
This is one more chance for people to maybe get it right or get it wrong.
We don't know. We'll find out.
We're going to find out if your prediction on James solving the death of Donna comes true or not.
Well, I like to think I could have been right on that.
You could have. So let's talk to Mark Givens from Dear Metal Radio. Mark, we're here to talk with you about kind of go look back at some predictions. And of course, we want to know what you thought of the series as a whole.
Oh, come on. Amazing. Of course. It was brilliant. It was quite memorable. And just when you thought you had it all, the finale, right?
Whatever I know, 17 comes along and you're like, okay, it looks like we're wrapping things up. And like, what are you going to go with 18? Because we've done so much on 17 and then they just blow it all up.
It was funny. I follow the rules and I turn all the lights off and I was just watching it with no clock or anything. And it seemed like it was kind of wrapping up. And I'm like, was that 2 hours already?
right.
Like, there's got to be something more. And then the credits roll. And then I'm like, yeah, we got. And then I'm like, oh, be careful what you ask for, right?
Yeah.
You know, we covered a lot already when we did the predictions, but I might go through some of them and I'll try to remember other things. I can't remember everything we talked about in the last time, but we can go over some things. Mark, you had mentioned, will we see Donna? And I think we all said that we were going to see Donna. All of us thought that. I really thought it was going to be the hit and run mom there.
Yeah.
And it looks like we never got Donna.
No, but you know what though? We did see Donna in a photograph.
Oh yes,
and she got mentioned, right? Didn't she in the flashback? Donna doesn't know me. Wasn't that in there?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I thought so.
But in Laura, in Sarah's house, we saw the photo of her and Laura.
Right. In the distance. Yeah.
I know she came up at the end somewhere like that.
Right. Did she talk with James in the flashback?
Yes.
Maybe?
That was it. Yeah.
Maybe so. I can't remember.
Something. Yeah. I haven't only watched it one time, so it's a little murky. So.
Some people think that the Hayward sister was originally going to be played by Donna. I don't know if I buy that or not, but like,
no,
maybe.
I don't think we needed a Donna as much as we wanted one. There was no reason to have one because nothing about this revolved around Donna at all.
Yeah, right.
I think that's why that was the whole prediction, because really, you know, she played the big part in the original, but as the season wore on, it was kind of like she was an extra, you know, let's find something for Donna to do.
Yeah.
I think they finally decided, let's just leave Donna on the sideline.
At first, I thought we got Donna crying to James, but I realized that was Renee.
Right. Mm. I thought that too.
I'm like, is that Donna?
I thought the same thing. I thought they were going to trick us into it was Renee, because like she was so emotional when James was singing, and I thought she was overly emotional. I think maybe the character was just touched that somebody was singing to her or something. I guess it was kind of odd.
Yeah, why was she so touched by his singing? I mean, if it was Donna, it really makes sense.
Right.
But we don't know Renee.
Yeah.
But maybe
and Renee's married.
Yeah, she's married.
But she doesn't seem to care about James after James punched
her. But maybe that's her favorite song. And she hears it on the radio and she got to hear it live and it touched her so much.
Yeah, right.
I also, did you guys see the Reddit with Sabrina Sutherland?
Yes.
Somebody asked about Donna on that. And it was, I can't remember the exact answer, but it was kind of ambiguous where, you know, it just didn't happen for this season or something like
that. I don't know if Sabrina said on this, but other times she would say the characters that were there were what was meant to be, basically. Yeah. I don't know if that was what she said on that one, but other times she was kind of saying, you know, things happen the way they happen and it was meant to be that way.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So talking about characters, we all thought maybe there'd be some surprises that were not on the list. Maybe it would be Josie or Catherine or Wyndham Earl or Annie.
Oh, Annie.
I don't think we mentioned Truman, Harry Truman. None of that happened. We didn't get Wyndham Earl.
You're being very generous, Ben. I think these were all my predictions. But you know what? Pretty much all of those guys did, you know, Catherine and Josie appeared. Harry was, you know, in the background and mentioned a lot. But I was I could have sworn when they released all those names, I'm like, and there was obvious omissions, that they were messing around, and I can't believe that not one, there was no surprise appearance by anybody.
No. Well, there was one surprise appearance. Jeffries. Agent Jeffries.
Yeah, Agent Jeffries.
The teapot.
Yeah.
It is interesting that they did find a way to bring Major Briggs and Agent Jeffries into the show. I mean, you have Agent...
They did a good job.
Yeah, they did. It was interesting. Yeah, somehow they made it work. I mean, you have a floating Major Briggs head.
You know, with his body, and he was pretty central to the storyline. You know, you kind of kept expecting him to show up the way they were doing it for a while there. So, yeah, I thought they did a good job with that. I'll say one last thing on the guest list, the surprise guest that never happened. My big one, of course, was Wyndham Earl that I was preaching on. That this was the original plan.
Yeah.
Way off. But I do want to – one last hanging thing on that. We never did – and I haven't even seen a good theory about the billionaire who came up with the box, right? Is there even been an – I haven't been on Twitter and stuff as much.
We assuming, Ben and myself have assumed it is Mr. C who owns that box.
Because of his
Vice City photograph where he owns like Miami property.
Yeah, he got this big pool and this big mansion. And
then there's a photograph with him with scientists in front of the glass box.
Right, so which he's definitely linked to it.
He's linked to it.
It's definitely linked. Yeah. Okay, but there's still the guy who's, and for some reason I always link this together, the guy who was pretending to be Philip Jeffries.
We don't know who that is. A lot of people are still kind of confused on
that. It's very confusing, especially because when he's talking to Mr. C, he says, I will be back with Bob again. Yeah.
You're leading me there, Ben. So that's my last desperate hope that is Wyndham Earl for season 4.
Because
he was with Bob. He's one of
that's fair.
I can't think of anybody else, actually.
Right.
Hmm.
Interesting. So we
probably
had,
not.
I think it was Brian that you mentioned about Leland will take over for Bob Mantle.
Yeah.
But we had this whole Bob thing. So here's the interesting thing. Both Brian and Mark felt that they were going to use old footage of Bob to tell that. And they did. I mean, we see that. Clearly they show that, I think, with the whole sphere. And in 17, you definitely must be using old footage of him.
It was creepy. It still creeped me out, and those weird noises and stuff, the screams.
Yeah, they didn't overdo it. They used it selectively, and I think they did a really good job with it. It wasn't Bob every episode, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. Now I can't remember when we spoke. If it was it after part eight or was it before?
Well, we did. Okay, it was after part eight. We did it during the break. And I think, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you and myself both were like, yeah, Bob is out of Mr. C. I mean, I know I was saying that. And Ben was the only one I know was like, no, he's still in him. And I'm like, no, but we physically see him leave. Well, we were all wrong. Egg on our face.
My only time I've ever been right on this show.
Good job, Ben. I mean...
It made sense to me that he had, I mean, even though it looks like they, I think they were massaging and healing him.
The healing him, yeah.
Did you play the tape, Ryan? I'm not completely convinced.
So Ben says, we will see Diane in the series, and we think it'll be Laura Dern.
And wow, wait a minute. Hey, Mark, you and me both said no to this. How did we say no? I don't
know. and then we even had debates. Well, if we see Diane, she won't be in it much. We also had that, like, yeah. It's like, yeah, if she's there, maybe she'll be in one part or something like that.
Yeah.
And she was a big part of this series.
She was Cooper. She was the new Cooper, sort of. Like, we were saying, like, Cooper talking to Diane through a device, and now we had Diane talking to Mr. C through a device.
Yes. So
it's kind of the roles reversed.
Right.
Maybe it was my bias against Diane not showing up, but I'm really wrestling with her. You know, it was a central role, but it's still like, you know, her backstory, and it's very murky, and it seems like she's just a concept in the original series, and now she's like front and center. And when I get back to rewatching this, because actually I have not gone back to this very much. I've kind of been watching it just weekly.
Yeah.
I'm just, where does she fit in there in that? You know, and then leading up into the finale, she's very pivotal right there at the end.
I think, Mark, me and you were both saying how her character would have been like, it would have ruined it. Like, we were saying, you know, when you saw Mr. Wilson's face in Home Improvement, you know, like, we're like, you don't see her, it would kind of ruin the mystery. Well, I think that was my thing. Yeah.
Yeah, the same thing. And I still have a little bit of a trouble how she was used in the first season. Like, you know, that's who Cooper's sending all these messages to, the F-off lady. You know?
Yeah.
I liked her portrayal. I mean, I liked her character a lot. And I didn't see it coming, but that was really Cooper's love interest. It was really his true love, it seems like.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard for me. I guess I'm so caught up in Audrey
that I
can't.
Yeah, I know.
See
let go of the Audrey thing. But
Audrey!
We have to say,
oh, this is still there.
We didn't technically see Diane till the very end. We were watching a tulpa.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
True.
It wasn't even really her. With her memories, though. It had her memories.
Yes.
But it truly wasn't her. And then we got a glimpse of the real Diane at the end. But then
she got a little happier.
We got Linda, maybe. Diane / Linda.
Right, when they went to the other place.
Yeah, they went to the other place.
And all this is, of course, 25 years after whatever the original Diane was like, so she's changed, you know.
Yeah.
All the characters have changed, so we didn't see that original character. So
that's true.
I guess it does kind of make sense, but it's a slippery one.
Sounds like they're coming to get you, Mark.
Mark's got the secrets to Twin Peaks.
James will be a major player in figuring out who killed Donna. This is Brian.
That's Brian.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, we're going to like James. James has always been cool. He didn't do anything other than make friends with Freddy, but
he had a nice role.
He had a nice role, and he did. I think David Lynch and Mark Frost redeemed his character in a way that he became kind of like this joke in the second season. And we mocked him. We mocked his story. And I don't think it was about him. It was just the writing didn't do anything for him.
His arc had completed, and they didn't really put any, you know, a lot of thought into where he was going.
And I think it was very powerful to have Shelley say James was very cool in that first episode, because all we were talking about.
Right. Yeah, we kind of re-looked at him and said, you know, he isn't a bad guy. Why are we picking on him?
Isn't it the power of them to, like, all of a sudden...
A beautiful woman tells
us. Yeah, but the power of this, just what we all just want... Yes, James is cool. And then he's cool again.
He's cool. And I must say, the actor is a cool guy.
James Marshall.
We got to meet him at the Twin Peaks Fest, and he was a great guy. And
it was very nice. Yeah,
very nice guy.
Right.
So, you know, it's interesting, though. So he does have this story arc where he hears this hum and in the basement of the Great Northern.
And we don't see what he does with that.
I mean, Cooper eventually goes there, and that brings him to another, like, seems like a portal or something. Yeah. Like that. But it's funny that we're led with James to go and find out what that is, and then it doesn't go anywhere.
But we get to hear him sing his number one hit, so.
He's kind of all over. He's kind of got his fingers and everything a little bit.
Yeah.
I wanted to believe that there was maybe a deleted scene where in part 17, he was there in the jail, and he maybe had something to say about connecting it to the Great Northern. I don't know. It's interesting to see, well, why is he in the jail cell, and, like, what is his part?
He didn't do anything.
He got beat up.
Yeah.
This season, they did so – there's so many – apparent red herrings, or, you know, who knows, maybe that is, you know, these things will be picked up, but even more so than the original run. I mean, how many of these things just, you know, by the finale, you know, all these questions are completely left unanswered.
Yeah I agree, Mark, and like I was saying off the air with Brian, I think about this time where so Cooper wakes up and, you know, he's in the hospital and he's with his boss, and he says to the boss, oh, you've got a gun on you, can I have your gun? And he gives him his gun. Doesn't do anything with the gun. Like, you usually in a story, if you're introducing something like a gun, the gun has to be used in some way.
Yeah,
it's strange to see that he takes the gun, and then I you know, I fast forward, rewatched them all, and he never uses the gun in part 17 when he gets to the sheriff's station. And then when he goes to this other world, he's at Judy's, the restaurant, and he's got a different gun. It's a black gun. It's a whole different gun. So it's interesting to me. Like, I think, was this deleted stuff? Why do they do that?
Another big thing is different from anything, even maybe Fire Walk With Me, is this is, you know, I've been coming to here, and once the series has ended, this has really been Lynch's. It's not really been the partnership, I don't think, as it was, because, you know, they kept talking about making a movie, and I think that's what this was. Frost was the screenwriter,
right?
And once he was done, he was gone, and Lynch shot it and Lynch edited it, and it was this long, who knows how long kind of thing. So he could, you know, put those things that go nowhere, keep you off balance, which is this entire series was. So.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the only thing I'll add to it, though, is Mark Frost was on the set occasionally, and of course he did have a scene. I mean, he was.
Yeah, but it wasn't Fire Walk With Me, but I feel like Frost kind of made peace with, like, here's the script, and in the quotes I saw with him, he's like, this is his to go shoot, and I'm waiting to see what, you know, not that he couldn't have input at all, but I felt like it was kind of his baby.
Yeah, and I think he did. So I think even when Lynch did rewrite stuff, I think he did share it with Frost.
Sure.
But I don't think Frost had many comments. I think he was like, sure. But I agree, and it is kind of a different beast than the original series. I mean, there was a partnership in writing the story, and then Lynch has full control of whatever he wants to do with that.
In the original series, it was more, if you, you know, look into it, it was more Frost was kind of running, you know, even when he was, you know, he handed off to Harley Payton, but Lynch would kind of come and go, and so it kind of flip-flopped in that regard.
It's true.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. So Ben says, we will learn more about Judy, and she is not Josie's sister.
And we did. Yes. Did we?
Mark agrees we will be Judy will be part of this.
That's a big one. Yeah, we nailed that one.
Agent Jeffries, the teapot, says to Mr. C, Judy is someone you know, or you've met Judy before.
Yep.
We then learn from Agent Cole that it's kind of like ancient evil power, or and it's
force.
Like a force or something like that. So it's not.
Okay.
So what I interpret that to be is that Sarah Palmer has that evil,
the
experiment in her or with her or something like that. And that's how you can connect Jeffries saying you've already met her. It being Sarah Palmer, but at the same sense, it's really its own evil entity.
Yeah.
That makes sense, yeah. Because, of course, Leland has the male demon, and then we, you know.
Ah, the father.
Behold, Sarah, has the counterpart. And
the mother.
Yeah.
It looks like who had the more powerful one all along.
Wow.
Was Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's old Judy,
It's so frustrating in some ways that you seem like you're going to have this confrontation between Laura and Sarah, and we get to the house, and here it is, and then they're like, nope, not gonna happen.
Well, the whole series was leading up to stuff that didn't, you know what I mean? The confrontation between the two Coopers was kind of
anticlimactic
in the end.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I mean,
in a good way, I think.
I had a good way.
Off guard.
Yeah.
Because if that was
not
the
predictable,
ending, you know, we wouldn't be talking. Well, we would be talking about it. But you know,
I know. I think a couple weeks ago we were talking about the finale in the show, and I was a little I was kind of more critical of Freddy's character being the one to conquer Bob because I kind of wanted the payoff to be Cooper or somebody that was more related to that whole scenario than an outsider. And I liked the fight. I thought it was really cool and I enjoyed the whole thing. I liked how Lucy got the shot in and I liked how it was done. But I still have that one like part of me that nags at me that's like, I wish it was somebody that had more of a connection to that, but overall, very enjoyable.
Don't forget, Lucy's the one that kills.
I know. You're right.
Yeah. I didn't think about this until you were talking, but I just realized, what if Cooper can't kill Mr. C? Like, I mean, is Mr. C still part of him in some ways? It's like, in a way, he can't.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
It's almost like he can't kill himself, but like in like that part of himself. I don't know. I just thought of that as we were talking. It's like, you almost like you need somebody else.
An outsider that has no connection to anything.
Maybe.
That's a good point. I mean, I'm sure I'll warm up to the idea that it happened. You know, it's fine, but I don't know. I was kind of looking forward to that Mr. C. Cooper kind of
confrontation. I agree. I was too. I expected it.
Yeah, it definitely was building up to that the whole time. You know, you had the two separate, you know, the whole, and they're getting the coordinates and the memories are coming back. I feel like there something's going on there where they just pull in that guy, like you say, with green glove, but that one does stick out. Like, what was the point of that?
Right. Yeah.
Other than to subvert your expectations.
Yeah. Maybe we should have realized that Mr. C never confronted, like, he always had somebody else to go and get Dougie Cooper. Like, it was always like he always had hit people, multiple people who were always
That's
out
true.
To that. But maybe he knew that he couldn't do it himself, that he needed somebody else to do it.
That's a good point. He did take a hitman, and then really the fireman had his own hitman, that was Freddy.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay, I mean, I can buy into that.
So thoughts are still forming. That sounds good. Yeah.
Brian says, Cheryl Lee will only play Laura. No new characters.
Well.
So you're almost right. If you made it all the way to part 18.
I know. Carrie Page. I still think Carrie Page is part of Laura. I mean, but she's playing a new character. But I think she is Laura.
And you know what I feel? I feel Carrie Page is Cooper Dougie. Like,
I was thinking about that today.
I think everybody keeps – it still drives me. I still hear these podcasts that are saying that he, like, quantum leaped into Dougie. Like, Cooper is Dougie. Like, he just lost his memory and he's trying to bring – you know, kind of grow up in a way. But I still hear other people saying, oh – I don't know. It drives me crazy. But the point –
Well, there's the Topa of Dougie.
Which was in the Red Room.
Yeah.
Cooper inhabited that, right? Yeah.
Oh, so you're thinking that. Do you think that?
Well, because Dougie's having a whole life for 40 years where he's, you know, overweight and all that. And then when Mr. C set all this up and then he ejects, you know, Cooper can't go back into the real world. Instead, somehow he lands in this tulpa that Mr. C set up, correct?
Yeah.
No.
So then when we see Dougie, it's Cooper. But before that, there was a Dougie.
Yes. Okay. Right. So right. So there was a tulpa. He was with Jade, and they were hanging out. And he was And then he goes to the Red Room, and he says
the physical body of Cooper physically took over the presence of Dougie.
When you get these long Dougie scenes, it did dawn on me like that's Cooper inside there, just how he was acting like a detective.
Yes.
You know, things were drawing his attention. So that I thought that was a pretty cool to incorporate in there.
Yeah. So my thinking is Carrie Page is Laura, and I feel like when she went to this other world, or maybe she lost her memory and she kind of lived the life of Carrie Page.
Yeah.
And she just needs to wake up, and she wakes up at the Palmer house when she's remembering her mom calling her.
Yeah. And you know, Ben, it's funny because I was thinking about that today, about what you said, and I was like, well, why would you give us 16 episodes to kind of take in this whole Dougie scenario and give us the history and all the tulpas and everything? And now you can give us Carrie Page and will understand.
Yes.
And I was thinking, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, that's what you said is interesting, because that it's Laura, you know, Laura Palmer, but it's Carrie Page's Dougie Cooper scenario. And you're right, because at the end, when she hears her name, the electricity goes out. And everything has to do with electricity. And electricity is what woke up Cooper.
Very good.
And that would wake her up, is the power of that electricity. And a part of me was like, okay, when Cooper was living this life, nobody came up to him and said, "You're Dale Cooper," because nobody knew he was anything but Dougie.
Right.
But when you have someone come and knocking on your door going, "Are you Laura Palmer?" And she's just like,
"I feel like I know her, but..."
Yeah, yeah.
"My arm's been backward."
And she's just like, And the look on her face, the entire scene is like confused.
Cheryl Lee, incredible performance.
Yeah, and it's all in her eyes. Mm-hmm. It's all in her face. And I really believe at the end, she's like, "Am I Laura Palmer?" Yeah. And when she screams, the electricity, all the lights go out. I like that theory a lot, Ben. I was thinking about today. I mean, that I like that. Because why would you explain all this to us? And that is the payoff. To give us this.
I think so.
Yeah, it's like, I kind of think so, too.
They are kind of mirror. They are kind of connected, Cooper and Laura, somehow. And to be able to show that connection, that they're in it together. And like, and now they actually are in this world together. And like, I wish it was a season 4. I wish we could continue.
Or a movie, this, or just movie. Something, yeah.
And Mark, do you have any other thoughts about the series?
I'm taking that all in. My thoughts, and I haven't been on or listened to podcasts as much. I don't know if there is a consensus yet on the ending or what's going on. And yeah, I've seen it once, so I'm still thinking. But it kind of dawned on me what's happening. We kind of... You know, we see Cooper trying and trying again. And then by the end here, I think he's done this infinity times.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? He's pushing the rock up the hill, and it just keeps. And I think he's been manipulated by the Lodge to kind of, you know, Laura's the one, and they love pain and suffering, right?
Huh.
And that's the end of the series, right? She's back at it. She's at her, you know, the worst moment. So.
Yeah.
It's a dark ending.
It is.
The way I see it, if it is the ending, which I'm not convinced of at all. I don't know where you guys stand on that, but...
I don't know.
Every quote, every interview, Frost and Lynch, I have not seen them say anywhere near this is the end. You know,
right.
I've seen, we'll see how the audience takes it. And, you know, they love a good cliffhanger.
They do.
And this is like... the ultimate. Everyone thinks it's over, right?
Right.
So.
I think about Mark Frost. Like, Mark Frost, like, originally, season 1, there was talk that there was 2 endings. Like, oh, if we weren't going to get picked up, there was going to be another ending, and then we have an ending if we get picked up. And so there's a big cliffhanger, and then it turns out Mark Frost says, yeah, I was always going to do a cliffhanger. I always wanted to do that because we always wanted to make sure we get picked up.
Yeah.
And then season 2 comes, and they do the exact same thing.
Yeah,
and so, like,
exactly.
Why should I not think that, you know, season 3, that they're not thinking, we might want more? So
exactly. Yeah. The only difference is now they haven't said, you know, we want to keep this going explicitly,
yes.
Which has been their whole, you know, approach this entire time about everything, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
Everything's vague. They're not going to tell you anything. So I'm hopeful.
Me too.
And I haven't seen anything saying this is done. I mean, it's a dark ending.
Laura Whisper?
He seemed to know where to go.
The other thing I want to get out there, and I've been on, you know, Twitter a little bit. I'm getting a little sick of the community at large treating Dale Cooper as the whipping boy now, like the failed hero and all this.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that.
I'm
no.
like, how dare you? Like, I really feel we're in the middle of the story still, and he's left, you know, he's not done. He's some other guy now. And he's in another reality.
Yeah, yeah.
But Dale Cooper's still in there, and he's got his, you know, he's got his allies. And
he did succeed. He woke up. He was able to stop with other people. He was able to stop Mr. C because he was able to put the ring back on him and take, you know, make him go back to the Red Room.
Yeah.
And he was able to stop Bob with the help of others. But I feel that is triumph.
Dale Cooper wants to be the hero, but he also wants to do good. And I think as Dougie. He did a lot of good.
Too hard. What is his flaw? What are they saying? He tries too hard, or
he didn't rescue. Maybe he didn't rescue Laura.
You know what it was? I think a lot of people are like, well, he tries to go back in the past and change.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
retcon.
Laura is dead. Yeah.
But you know what? In the grand scheme of things, he's trying to look at all avenues, and that was one of them. But you can't change the past, so there's no way that could he could do that.
I guess he did mess up. He has the best of intentions, but at least as it stands.
I didn't look at it as a mess up. I don't know if it's the lodges or the universe saying that's not the path you're supposed to go on. And
yeah.
Stuff that. Like he says, I want to take you home. And it's like, yeah, you can't change the past. And then he even said, doesn't he say something like that in the station that like the past dictates
the future?
The future. And so maybe he had to go. I still debate on whether he went to the future when he meets Carrie Page.
Well, because Jeffrey says you're going to go back into to the date. But when Cooper talks to Jeffrey, that before all that, he says you're going to 1989, and you can tell Cole I said hi from my former self or something.
Okay.
So he does tell you he's going back to this date and time. The year,
but
I should say year.
It does seem like he keeps, you know what I mean, he's going back and back again, so who knows what that's doing to the timeline or however you want to phrase it.
Yeah.
And we've talked about how Jeffrey seems to have maybe, that 8 might be an infinity sign. So he might be in this loop. Is it future or is it past?
Yeah, it's so hard, man. This is going to take another 25 years to figure out.
Yeah. That's, I told you guys I kind of got busy and I haven't really been covering right when the show came back. Life got crazy. But, you know, this is not something you really need to rush out. I mean, that's fine and well, but I feel like you could cover this in a year and it's going to be all kinds of different thoughts and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
so much into this.
So, Mark, we miss you on the Dear Metal Radio. Do you think you'll be back soon?
Yes, guys. Yeah, I'm gearing up. Of course, you know, I think you guys started before me, but I know we all were building up for the year or two, and of course right when the series starts I just disappear off.
Yeah.
But that's just how it played out. It actually kind of played out cool because it was almost like back in the day of the original run, you know. Just I watched the show. I didn't have to do editing and recording and all this. I just enjoyed the show, looked forward to it. So I think in that sense it worked out. But I'm gearing back up, and I plan to cover the show. We did the first two episodes, take the ending, the finale, and that reframes everything.
I mean,
from the opening credits where, you know, we see Laura's image and all that. Another thing I'm thinking of is, what is the motivations of the lodge, you know, which is always murky, but we had Mike, the one-armed man, guiding Cooper this whole time. Was he guiding him toward that end? You know, things like that you, until you're done, you're not even thinking about. So
I really thought Philip Gerard was going to end up being that fake Agent Jeffries. Like, he was going to become bad. Like, I really thought we were going to end with, him being the one that was, like, talking with Mr. C. And
yeah, it's weird. His character has been, I mean, between Firewalk With Me, the original series, and this, he's kind of played the gambit of, is he a villain? Is he a good guy? And this one, he seemed to be on the good side of things, to get what he wanted.
Time, but what was the, you know, the end result? You know, he's helping him, but where is he leading him to? So
right.
To get Bob back.
We don't know.
I think his was to make sure Cooper didn't die, because he says, don't die.
Right.
And I think he wanted Mr. C back also.
But these are the guys who want that pain and suffering. So I go back to the finale. That's really where he ended up. So was he just helping Cooper not to die, to stick him in this loop with Laura forever? You know, that's a dark thought. It kind of makes sense.
But he did do one good thing without a question. He made a tulpa of Dougie for the Joneses.
That's a good point.
And that was a good thing. And there was no questions there.
That's true.
Yeah, so.
Good point.
Yeah, I don't know. His character's interesting. I think we covered a lot here.
We did. It was interesting. It was great to be able to follow up with you, Mark, about the predictions. And I can't wait for you to come back on the Dear Metal Radio podcast. Do you want to plug it? Do you want to share with people where they can follow you?
Of course. Thank you. Yeah, I think I've become just a segment on Twin Peaks Unwrapped. That's fine.
You're always welcome on this show.
Yeah.
I'm always glad to come back. But yeah, it's DearMeadowRadio.com or DonaldLipson.com, Facebook, Twitter, Dear Meadow Radio everywhere, Gmail. We've had some people asking about the show, and yeah, we're oddly, you know, we're an unusual podcast, but now that the show's over and things have settled down, we might be gearing up as other podcasts disappear. We might be returning. And we had, you know, we kind of, before the new series picked up, we did have a lot of we never got through the secret history. And of course, the final dossier is coming out. Let's not forget about that. So,
yeah,
check us out if you haven't. All this stuff's cataloged, and it's, you know, we've talked about this before, it's like segments, so you can go check it out now, and the Dear Meadow Radio, we'll be back shortly.
Awesome.
Cool. Well,
thank you so much, Mark. We appreciate you having on the show. We can't wait to talk to you again soon, and we can't wait till you come out with your next podcast.
Thank you, Mark, for being on today's show and giving us some time throughout season 3 and now. And as you can tell, I don't think a lot of us, I mean, you did very well with the Diane prediction, Ben.
Yeah.
I think you come out the winner on that one.
Didn't I? I think I thought she was going to be in it more than you did. I think we thought maybe it would be 2 episodes, maybe. Actually, you and Mark didn't think that she'd be in it at all.
Yes, I know.
It had to be Laura Dern. Come on. It had to be her.
I know.
There was nobody who could play Diane.
I know. So now I think we're going to go into our big celebrity guest.
Kimmy Robertson, who played Lucy.
Ooh, this is a wild interview, Ben.
I wouldn't want it any other way.
Exactly.
So we're on the phone with Kimmy Robertson. She played Lucy in Twin Peaks. Hi, Kimmy.
Hi, everybody.
We actually got to talk with Michael Horst before the new Showtime series came out, and he said that he thought Lucy and Andy were the better than they've ever been. Like, he was so excited about what you guys were doing, and I just had to share that. And I agree with him. I thought you did an amazing job with this series.
Oh, yeah, I paid him to say that. Cost me $20.
Oh, wow, $20.
How do you feel about the show? How do you feel about coming back to Twin Peaks?
Oh, are you kidding? Yeah, I hate it. It's such a drag. No, it was really fun, like the funnest thing ever in the whole wide everything of the universe. Something that everyone thought would never, ever happen, happening. And you get to then be in it. They didn't hire somebody who was 20 to play me. That's like amazing.
Your character Lucy was like the hero of the show. Like, you get to the end of the part 17, and she's the one that kills Mr. C. So I think that was really cool that
and Andy were the two the unsung heroes of Twin Peaks.
That's a nice way to put it. Somebody from another magazine called it obligatory cheese ball.
Oh, they're not fans of Twin Peaks, are they?
I don't know who they are and stuff, but that was their article. I think they were the one person on the planet that liked all the new characters and would have liked Lucy to be played by a 20-year-old.
Nobody can play Lucy but you.
You know, that person should just go ahead and become a producer right now.
I'm curious to know, what is your interpretation of that ending with Lucy with the gun? I mean, we see Andy, who has like this vision of placing Lucy in a position, and then you have Lucy, who's saying, you know, she got the call and she finally understands cellular phones.
Yeah.
Like that. Is your interpretation that Lucy figured it out on her own, or did Andy kind of help her maneuver her to get to that position?
You know, what's really bizarre is I never did understand that until just the other day. My interpretation is that the real Cooper, right?
Yeah.
Call, so she says, where are you, or something like
right.
that, right?
Yeah.
You know, Lucy loves Agent Cooper, always did, and just thinks he's the bee's knees, and so she was able to just really listen to him and not faint.
Yes.
And not scream. He saves the day in many ways, more than one.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
That might not be it, but I like that. I liked what I made up.
And it was such a great payoff because it did start off the series with her like, I don't understand cell phones stuff. And yeah. then have the payoff of, I now understand
cell phones. Yeah. I thought that was a great payoff with your character.
Now, did David Lynch still call you Lucy on the set? Like, I think in the old days he actually used to just call you, hey, Lucy. And did he still call you by your character on the set?
Always. Not just on the set. Even out dinner and everywhere, yeah.
Yeah. And what was it like being directed by David Lynch again?
Yeah, that really was a big drag, too. That really sucked. Sorry for being cheeky. There's nobody like him. I mean, there are people similar, but there's maybe six on the whole planet. So, that have that sort of magic where they stir up the set with their magic and then you just get to be there.
Yeah.
Really fun. And I know Kyle has said that a lot, that he's waited so long to work with him again. And we all waited. I mean, if this actually was a lifetime, we waited.
It's true.
And if we would do anything, you know, we would do anything for him.
And you actually did, though. I mean, when you think about it, there was the talk about David Lynch might not actually make the film. I love that you and other cast came together and made that video, like, you know, without David Lynch, or I think that was what it was called. But I'm so thankful that you did that and the other cast. And I know you actually then promoted it, and I think you went on other podcasts. And thank you for, you know, for doing that.
Well, he called me, and I was here at my sister's, and I literally kind of fell to my knees in the backyard when he said he couldn't do it. And that made me so mad that we just all called each other like at the same time. And that all just came out, and then Machen edited it. She's really good at that.
Yeah.
And then people did it all, you know. Okay, so we started it, but I don't think we invented it. It happened all over the world at the same time. Fans in every country made their own No David Lynch, No Twin Peaks videos.
Right. And it really showed that you loved him and that you really were supporting him, and that meant a lot to the fans as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, can you imagine doing Twin Peaks with some director?
Not at all.
I don't know.
And you kind of already did that, right? You did do that, and you saw what that was like, maybe having directors that were not David Lynch.
Yes, we did that a lot.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Kimmy, what I love about you is you have a great sense of timing when it comes to comedy, and it comes off effortless. I mean, like, I just think that's something that's a gift that you really do have. What was it like working with Harry again, Andy, there?
It was like being with a husband that you had a divorce from and you didn't want to have a divorce. I mean, he's so wonderful. You know, Harry is like one of my favorite people on the planet, and he's so nice, and I don't know, it was just magic to be with him. And then also to have John Chad there.
Yeah.
With that John Ferricello, we all call him John Chad, to be the opposite of us. Really fun.
Yeah, I love that scene with Chad and Lucy, and where Chad comes there and says, what a beautiful day. He goes to get the letter. And I thought that between the interaction between you two was wonderful. It was like something else.
That asshole telling me it's a beautiful day. Right.
Now, you were a ballet dancer, and, like, can you tell us a story how back in the original series, David and Mark wanted you to be part of the Miss Twin Peaks pageant?
I was at my desk on the set, and they were down the hallway, like if you were looking down from my desk, straight down the hall. Yeah. They were down there, sort of twittering back and forth, like two old aunties, right? And they kept looking at me, giggling, turning their backs to me, looking back at me, giggling, turning their backs. And I was like, oh no, what am I going to have to do now? They literally came up as they walked. It was almost like their knees were tied together. Like, they even walked like aunties. And they said, we have something we want you to do. And I went, I knew it. And they said, we want you to do a dance. And I said, what kind of dance? And they said, well, a dance in the talent portion of the Twin Peaks contest. And I said, okay. Do you want it to be like, and this is funny, I've asked this question for other things that I've done, real dancing or Disney dancing? And they said, you know, Disney dancing. And I said, okay, I'll do it then. They said, just use your music whatever you want, and we'll have Angelo make up something that goes to the dance. So I did choreograph that to Max the Knife.
Oh, that's really cool.
That's really something.
Yeah, and I did choreograph it to be corny and, like, up with people-ish rather than, you know, so you think you can dance kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the split at the end, everybody was worried about me because I was pregnant, you know.
Oh.
Your character was pregnant.
Yeah. I was going to say, you weren't really pregnant. Yeah.
No, I wasn't, but everyone was so worried.
Yes.
They forget that's not really happening.
Yeah.
That was impressive, though. You came up with all that.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Oh, well, I was a dancer for 35 years, for heaven's sake.
Ballet dancer, right?
Ballet dancer, yes, but I did. I was in a company for 10 years called American Folk Ballet. And I was in that until I started doing Twin Peaks, and I didn't have time anymore. We did sort of Seven Brides for Seven Brothers kind of dancing. And Russ Camlin even came and guested with us once.
That's really cool.
Yeah. That's cool. On social media, I saw, are you trying to get on Dancing with the Stars?
Yes.
That'd be awesome.
That's awesome. I mean, how can we help you get on that?
Buy the show, fire all the people they've decided to have on the season,
yes,
and then put me on.
All right.
All right.
We'll make that happen.
Awful.
We got to start a petition.
That's right.
Get you on Dancing with the Stars. I think it would be awesome.
That would be so cool.
Yeah.
Turns out they're not doing it again until next fall.
Well, we have plenty of time then.
Yeah, we have plenty of time.
We have plenty of time to get this grassroots movement going now.
Yes. I think that's the way I'm looking at it anyway. It's a goal, and I'm going to go after it as well as I can. I have all kinds of little plans already and little people helping me. So far, no big people are helping me yet, but enough little people when you don't need the big people.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was just going to say that. I think if all the fans come together and maybe start a petition and you tell ABC, hey, we want Kimmy Robertson on the next season, maybe it can happen.
People would watch that have never watched it before.
Like me. I would watch for you. I've never seen the show before, but I would watch it for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you have any memorable time working on this project?
Well, having dinner with the guy that was going to be playing my son before we shot that was really fun. Because we were right there by the mill, where the mill was, and we were right by the sheriff's station eating outside in a tent. That was special.
That is really cool.
Michael Cera.
Yeah. And like, I love that scene too. Like, and how you played
yes.
Lucy as a mom. And so she's so happy to see her kid. At the same time, she's glad he's out of the house so she can make it a study and stuff, his room. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An arts and crafts room or something.
Yeah. Something
yes.
Like that,
yes.
One of my favorite scenes was Lucy and Andy kind of fighting over which color to buy a chair. And I thought it was a beautiful scene because in the end, Lucy actually did end up getting the chair that Andy wanted. I thought that was really sweet. Do you have a favorite scene that you were in?
Yeah, the sandwich scene.
I love that one, right? It's your lunch break. That feels like my real life. I have times where I'm at work, and I'm like, I'm on lunch break. I'm not here. And put the hand up. And Brian and I, when we went to the fest, we went to the sheriff's station, which was another place. But we had to imitate you. We had to go behind the desk and say, put our hands
we
up.
We put our hands out. It's my lunch break.
Oh, I love that.
I'm at lunch.
Yep, I'm at lunch.
That was a good sandwich, too, and I think they had made, like, three of them. I wish I had that sandwich right now.
They're selling your desk at the sheriff's station.
Well, they're cutting it up,
They cut it up, and they're selling, like, little tiny bits in a necklace. It's really cool.
I have one. A fan bought one
for me. I don't want to say this, but I have to say this, but I have the best fans on the whole fucking planet.
Aww.
They give me stuff. Like, if I say, oh, I like that dress, the next day it'll be in a package in my hand.
It's that's
like,
awesome.
And then I have to explain to them that I can't do that. But,
you are so good with the fans, too. I mean, you've gone to the festival in Washington. You've also gone to the Great Southern. I mean, you've been there for the fans. So I know that – I think it goes both ways. I mean, we love you, but you also have been so good to the fans. And thank you so much for that.
Well, I'm a fan, too, though. I love the show. I'm a big fan of the show and of David Lynch.
So you actually were originally going to be a guest on the original Twin Peaks, right? You had like a guest spot. You weren't even like considered part of the full cast.
Yes, I was a guest in the pilot, and then in the first season, for some reason, the only thing they could do for me was make me have recurring role status. Now I don't understand the politics of Hollywood at all.
Yeah.
I've never been good at playing the, oh, I can't do that part because there's not enough lines kind of thing. But that actually exists. It actually does. Like, you can't do five and unders anymore after a certain, like now I can. But all of the weirdness that has to do with your image and what producers think of you is more important than like just being the person they want for the part.
Wow, interesting.
And that sort of had something to do with that back then, like, because I was an absolute nobody. I still am, but
you're somebody to us.
I
feel like you've been so involved with so many different things. I mean, we don't voice acting and all these other projects. And when it comes to Twin Peaks, it's funny that, like, you were labeled that because you were so, to me, you were big, the heart of Twin Peaks. I mean, you did the commercials, you did bumpers, you did these...
the phone stuff.
The hotline. You sold t-shirts. I mean, I felt like you were a big part.
Unboxing. Right. You unboxed the gold box or the Blu-ray.
Brian's newer to this, but I'm thinking 25 years ago, you would be like, they would have an executive meeting, I think, with Lynch and Frost, and you would come in with donuts. So I felt like you were the heart, in some ways, the heart of Twin Peaks, that you were so involved in what was going on.
Well, yeah, I kind of like that. Lucy is like the person who keeps it all together like that.
Yeah.
She's in charge of her responsibilities, and don't you miss those t-shirt commercials? I wish we would have done those again. Just one for... Just to be, like, retro, vintage, that would have been really fun.
That'd be cool.
Showtime should do that. Yeah. What are you doing?
DVD extras.
Yeah. I guess what I mean is, if you're a nobody kind of, you didn't come from a family that acts and stuff, you're always going to be that way in Hollywood. It's kind of funny like that. So instead of worrying about that, I just go ahead and be a fan who gets to act on a favorite show.
Yeah. I think both Mark Frost and David Lynch saw what you could do. I mean, they saw that you were so much more, and they gave you more of roles. And just the fact that they came to you for when it came to the dance number, they knew that you could dance. I mean, I think that is amazing that they saw your talent, your gifts, and they wanted to show that more on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing how there's a lot of people in Hollywood can do a lot of stuff that they never get to do. It is amazing. I would love to do a show where I'd get to go and show everybody what all these actors who they know just as handsome or pretty faces, what they actually can do, because a lot of them have amazing gifts, like really amazing talent. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, totally.
So way better than Big Brother.
And I'm sure you watched the return week after week. What's your reaction been, having seen the whole thing?
As a fan.
Yeah.
I loved it.
That's awesome.
I did.
I loved it. And in the last 2 hours, I just loved them.
Yes. What's your interpretation that last episode?
Well, not that I know anything about it, but I'm just that it seems to me like it would be really easy to make a whole new show. Didn't it even look different the last hour?
I think you're right.
He came out of the motel. It was a different motel.
Yes.
A different car, a different guy.
Yes. Yeah.
Like the color was different.
You're so right.
It was almost like a manic TV show. Oh, I gotta say, you know, before the show aired, I was all nervous. Everyone was nervous. I kept hoping that it would exceed all expectations. I had sat on my bed and I said, you know, I talk out loud a lot to the people and things out there in the world, whoever they are, whatever you call them, angels,
yeah,
dust, people who passed away, whatever it is, energy. I said, I wish you could show me something that would make me know for sure that it's going to exceed all of everyone's expectations. And right then, I was watching Mannix, and he was walking through the L.A. Zoo, and he came to a sign that said Twin Peaks.
Wow. Isn't that cool? That was a sign.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
That was not just a sign. It was a fucking sign.
I love it. Literally and figuratively. Yep.
It was a sign.
Those are my guardian angels. You know, those Bozo is my guardian angels. Like, I asked for a sign, they give me a fucking sign.
Yeah. That's good.
That's really cool. But so I knew, however goofy they showed me. And I knew it was going to be good.
It was great. It was good mostly because you were in it, because you were part of it. I mean,
the hero of the show.
The hero of the show, right? It was so good.
Oh, yeah, like that's why it was good, because I was in it.
Yes.
I think so.
It was good and I have to be in it.
I love the series, but part of me struggled because, I want things to be resolved. I want things. And I was looking back at Brad Duke's reflection book, and you talked about the original series as people don't like things to be resolved. And I think that maybe there was comforting to hear those words that you said that. And do you feel that way still, that maybe we don't want things to be resolved?
I do, for sure. Yeah. That's why you always get divorced after you get married.
Well, Kimmy, thank you so much for your time. I mean, it's so good to talk to you. There were so many scenes that I loved that you did. We talked about the lunch break, and there was Gordon calling you up, and there was just so many great scenes.
Yes.
And you really did make the show, and I'm so glad you were part of that, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, and I gotta say that if we do get picked up for any more hours, I promise to wear lipstick next time.
You were perfect just the way you are. There's no need for that lipstick. Yeah. Thank you, Kimmy.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Kimmy. Thank you, Mark, for being on today's show. We appreciate it, both of you. What a joy it was to talk to Kimmy Robertson. So awesome. She is just like Lucy, and I love it. It's so cool. You always wonder, I'm like, is she Lucy? She kind of is. She's a little out there, and it's great. And I'm hoping we can get her on Dancing with the Stars come next year.
Yeah, let's get a petition going for that.
So we do have community feedback, Ben.
What do you got?
Well, Henrietta writes on Facebook, just began listening to your old shows all over again. I really miss Twin Peaks and didn't want it to end. So I feel so lucky that I can both watch seasons 1, 2, and 3 while listening to your great show all over again. Thank you, Henrietta, for that lovely comment.
Thank you, Henrietta.
And I think it's kind of cool. We have a time capsule now. And for people who are just getting into the series, if you want someone to talk to, and you know, everybody's moved on, they're talking about different things, you might get spoiled going online, you can go back and listen to our shows.
I still think about George Lucas-ing it. You know, I go back to the original and edit it a little bit more, fine-tune it, maybe add some stuff. And the special edition of
maybe
Twin Peaks Unwrapped.
Maybe when we retire, you could do that. We can do, like, the remastered edition.
Yeah, the remastered, right.
Yeah.
We could put new voices in it. I'm Ben and Brian.
Yeah, we have an announcer. Yeah, we could do all that. Yeah. So who knows? That could happen.
Probably not.
But it's kind of cool that, because I have some friends right now who are just getting into Twin Peaks, and they're listening to the show the beginning.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and we try to put spoilers in the header, so if you're listening, you don't want to be spoiled. You know to skip it if you don't know what's going to happen. And I was on that journey, and I can relive that journey with you.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
It's something else.
Yeah. So with that being said, Ben, we just want to give everybody a quick update about the podcast awards. Ben.
Well, it was this past Saturday night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Saturday night.
You said you were going to be checking it out, and then I went and checked it out. And we unfortunately did not win.
No.
We were nominated out of 10 other people. We were nominated for Best Television and Film Podcast.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the Hollywood Outsiders, they won.
Yeah,
and
congratulations to them. Yeah.
But I'm really excited just to be nominated. I know you always say that. People say that. But it's still like we were the only Twin Peaks podcast in that category.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty special to be just nominated. So we had to actually create a video. So what happens is during that night, whoever wins, they showcase the video of the people to say thank you for we won and stuff. So we had to do that up front. So later this week, right, we're going to do that.
We're going to put out on social media the video we made thanking everybody just because. Why not?
We're so goofy. We're very goofy, but why not, right?
It was like a mini film.
Yeah.
It took a while, right? It was treated like a mini film.
Maybe.
Low budget, but we got it. We got it.
But yeah, it was fun, and I think it's just to share. And really, the point of that video, anyways, was to say thank you to everyone who's been listening, who's been supporting us.
Yeah,
thank you so much for that, and it means a lot.
Yeah, and you know, maybe next year we'll try it again. And congratulations again to the winners. And it was awesome just to have her name listed during the ceremony, and maybe that got more people interested to listen to our show.
Yeah, maybe. And really, thank you again to the people who did get nominated us. It was a lot of people listening to our show that went out and supported us.
Yeah, an online campaign. That was really cool that we asked the community to do something, and they're like, yeah, we'll do that for you. I think that's really crazy.
It's pretty awesome.
It's so awesome. So a big thank you to everybody who did vote for us, and we'll try again next year.
Yeah.
We should tell our listeners, please give us that 5-star rating on iTunes. Leave us a comment. It gets us out there, more people, gets us more visible to people, and keeps us in the top 200 chart, which we haven't left yet. Very cool. We're on Google Play. We're on Stitcher. We're on YouTube. So check us out in those areas. Also, like us on Facebook. Facebook has exploded. We're just getting likes and likes and comments and messages, and I love it.
You guys have great conversations there. I think it's a really good place to talk
and
talk all about Twin Peaks.
I kind of miss the Sunday ritual of posting a photo and everybody just going crazy, and
I kind of miss it. I think you need to just post random new photos. It's like, talk about this.
Yeah, we should, maybe. Maybe. I think maybe I should every Sunday just post an old photo from one of the episodes. And
you could post something like, is this the White Lodge?
Ooh, yeah, I like it. I like it. Like last week, we talked about the Purple Room.
Yep.
That's a good idea, Ben. I like it. I'll start doing that.
All right.
Thank you. You inspire me.
Give me more work.
How is Twitter going?
Twitter's awesome. I love it. I mean, it's always, sometimes there's so much going on. It's like, how do I keep track of it all? Like, it's so...
I was pretty amazed that I found out the box set was being released.
Before me!
I know!
Wow.
I went on Twitter and I saw it and I sent it to Ben, right? And Ben goes, is this real?
I know, because you found things before.
I really...
Somebody doctored something.
It was so cool looking.
Yeah. I know, I was eating lunch and I get a text from you and I'm like, what?
Yeah, you're like, who is... And I go, a man by David Lynch.
I know. I said, who sent you this? Where did you get this?
This is like David Lynch himself. He posted.
David Lynch called?
Yes. How cool would that be? He called us first.
I want you to know Twin Peaks Unwrapped. You would be the first person to know the DVD Blu-ray is coming out on December 5th.
Yeah. And my whole feed on Facebook was literally the box set.
Yeah.
That's just like everywhere. It was cool though. Very exciting news. And the fact that David Lynch said, hey, maybe season 4 years down the road.
Right.
How cool is that?
Why not? I take a maybe. It's better than no.
I think it'd be cool if he just did a movie. Like, I kind of go with
that. I'll take anything. You can do a 30-second short. No, like a really quick thing. It's like,
he'll bring back DavidLynch.com, and he'll do a video, yes, a really crass video, and that would be the continuation.
I'll take it.
It's cold out today.
I told you that they had this thing of, like, what is Laura looking at? And, like, it was something, like, you had to get through all these different telephone number things.
Oh, my God.
It was a hidden thing, and it would be like, I think it was something like, what is Laura Palmer looking at? And, like, you don't know, but that was the whole thing. There was, like, nothing more. Oh,
my, that's aggravating.
I like it.
Did you get it through? What was she looking at?
That's our guess. We're supposed to think about that. There's nothing.
With numbers?
Well, I think it was a phone number, so you had to punch in certain numbers that would give you access to another area, and eventually you got to an area where you see a picture of Laura Palmer, and I think it's I'm sure whoever's listening who remembers is, I'm saying it wrong, but it was something like,
okay,
what is she thinking or what is she, you know, like that, and it's more of like for you to just dream about it and think more about it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I like that. We can bring that back. David Lynch, get on that. So with that all being said, please follow us on social media. We do our best to keep the Twin Peaks news coming to you every day.
Let's keep it going for another 25 years.
Let's keep it going for another 25 years. We'll be back next week with another mystery, another guest, something special, something. I'm sure.
Maybe we should take the week off.
Maybe.
No.
I don't know. Hashtag keep the mystery alive.
Hi, guys. This is Etaro with just one comment about that two-part finale.
See you guys next week. And I see you in the branches that blow. I see you in a trees. I